Pendet via, pendet mister, I think from hell, it's the old hell, higher plane, than I am bound, I grant my feet on higher ground, I want to stay.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You and I have such a great privilege of being able to study God's Word. And I'm glad that you could join me as we look once again in the book of Ephesians. We're going to read in chapter 4. But let me remind you that Paul the Apostle is speaking to the church at Ephesus. And once again, as he speaks to the church, that's the people of that local church. Well, just as he was speaking to those people of that local church at Ephesus, he speaks to us as well. He's speaking to us not only collectively as God's church, but he's speaking to us as well as God's people individually. So as we read and study the book of Ephesians, let's let God speak to our hearts and lead us and guide us into all truth. And just before we get into chapter 4, let's pray. Father, I ask you now that you would guide us. Give us what we need today, Lord. Help us, Lord, to exalt you. May we, Lord, as your saved people, as your children, may we exalt you constantly and give you all the glory and praise. Thank you for Christ who gave his life for us that we could one day see you personally. Thank you that Christ gave his life for us and he's alive now. He rose from the grave that we could say, praise God, we're saved. We're on our way to heaven because we've trusted your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. Thank you now and guide us now as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. We're going to look at those verses. Now, if at all possible, have your Bible ready and have it open. But if you're in a car, I know you can't do that. And you may not be able to have your Bible open. You may not be in a car, and you still may not be able to have your Bible open. But if at all possible, have your Bible open and follow along as I read the scripture today. Verse 17 through 20 of Ephesians chapter 4 says this, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." Now, once again, verse 20, Paul the Apostle is telling the people there, there's things going on within that local church that has been creeping in there, and maybe some false prophets have come along, some false teachers have come along, and they've been saying something different than what Paul the Apostle has taught them, the other apostles and the other people of God has taught that local church. Someone has come in there and tried to change things around. But Paul says here in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Well, we're going to look at that as we go through this verse, these verses now that we've just read together. And I pray once again that you're able to open your Bible and follow along. Again in verse 17, now we've already read that verse, but I would like to say this, that I believe what the verse is saying, what Paul the Apostle is saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is, we are not to walk and live as the unsaved. We are not to fill our minds with vanity. In other words, things that amount to nothing. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher," and of course the preacher is Solomon here, "saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, worthless." Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." It's only what we do for the Lord that's going to last for eternity. Now, we have to live and we have to do, we have to work, and we have to do certain things to live in this life, but we do not work to go to heaven. The things that we do for the Lord, that is not vanity, because I've heard it said, and I've said it many times, that when we serve God and we're working for Him, we're laying up treasure in heaven. And I think one of the greatest treasure that we can lay up is another soul for Jesus Christ, another person who has trusted the Lord as Savior. So as we lay up treasure in heaven, keep that in mind, that the greatest treasure of all that we can lay up is another soul who has trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11 goes on to say, and this is Solomon, said in my heart, he said, "Go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this is also vanity." And Solomon goes on to say, and he says, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." In other words, everything that Solomon put his hand to, everything that he found this out, everything that he did that wasn't for God was just worthless. It was vanity. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't work in this life, that we do not take care of our family, we do not do the things that's necessary to live. We are to serve God. And as we serve God, then we're bringing honor and glory to Him. And once again, the greatest thing that you and I can possess is the Son of God. We possess Him. He possesses us after we've trusted Him as our Lord and Savior. But Solomon the preacher said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And he's speaking here of the things that do not amount to anything other than it's gone. It's foolishness. Well, why should we not live as the unsaved lived? Now, once again, that verse in verse 17 talks about that. Why should we not live as the unsaved lives? And Romans chapter 7 and verse 5 says why. It says, "For when we were in the flesh," that means unsaved, "the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." Before we got saved, we could not please God. There's no way that a person apart from Jesus Christ can please the Heavenly Father. Remember, Jesus came into this world to please His Heavenly Father. He came to glorify the Father. And I've said this before, when we glorify Jesus, we are in essence glorifying the Father, because God sent His only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. But once again, Romans chapter 7 and verse 5 says that it tells us why we are not to live as the unsaved person. That's those of us who are saved. We're not to live as the unsaved people. "For when we were in the flesh," that means unsaved, "the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." There's no way that you please God apart from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, now notice verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says there, once again, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Once again, he's talking about unsaved people. He's talking about the Gentiles here. That means people who are unsaved. Doesn't mean that all Gentile people and everybody who is not a Jew, that is considered a Gentile. That doesn't mean that all Gentiles are unsaved. That's simply saying that, speaking of unsaved people here, as we read these verses in Ephesians chapter 4, speaking of the unsaved. Now notice in that verse, the word life. And I believe that that word there is referring to life eternal. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. And then in John chapter 10 and verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And I'm often asked, how do I know that I have eternal life when I get saved? How do I know that I'm never going to lose that eternal life? Well, that's, that word eternal means forever. I mean, all we have to do is look at the Word of God and believe what God has said, especially that verse that those two verses that I read here, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Eternal life means never ending. And then we have the assurance of something here in verse 28 of John chapter 10 that I read. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. Jesus Christ gave it to us. Now you do nothing to earn a gift. We do nothing to earn eternal life. Why? Because Jesus gives it to us as a gift. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall, what? Never perish. That means once you're saved, you're always saved. And it goes on to say, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, once again, if you believe that you can be saved and then tomorrow lose your salvation, well, that simply says that you think you're stronger than God, that you're stronger than Jesus Christ. Because in that verse, John 10, 28, he says plainly, neither shall any man, that means man or woman, that means you, if you're a man, if you're a woman, and that means anybody else, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus Christ is God, and no one is able to separate you from the love of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's all of God's grace. It's all of his mercy that any of us can claim to be saved and on our way to heaven. It's only by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can say that we are righteous. We have been made righteous in the sight of God, not by us, not because of us, but because of Jesus. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now remember, when you got saved, what you had to do was say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I can't save myself. Lord, I've decided to go your way. I'm not going to go my way any longer trying to get to heaven. I'm going to accept. Now, you may not have said all these words at one time, but this is what you were really saying in your heart. Lord, I can't save myself. Please save me so that one day I will see you. I accept your free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord. Now, when you got saved, you, in essence, you maybe didn't say those words exactly, but that's what you were actually saying within your heart, that you were trusting Jesus Christ to save you so that one day you could be with him in heaven. And once again, once you get saved, the Bible says you have eternal life, not temporary life, but eternal life, and it is through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. I wonder today, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you turned to him and said, Lord, I can't save myself. Lord, I know that there's no way that I'm going to be able to work my way to heaven. I can't pay the wage of sin. I know that you paid it for me. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but your gift, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through you, Lord, the gift of God, the eternal life. It comes through you, Lord. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior right now. I turn to you and away from myself, away from anything that would that I might say could save me. I know that you're the only one. Save me right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.